As the trial of Chad and Lori Daybell nears closer, specifically Lori in the coming weeks, we're trying to give you as much context on the case as possible. So we're going back into the archives all the way to 2020, August 3rd and 4th, for the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, parts 1 through 13. So you can hear where it all begins in the courtroom and where it will pick up as the trial of Lori Daybell begins very soon. This is that hearing. Let's go to the courtroom.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. We'll be back on the record. It is just after 11 on the 4th of August, 2020, in State v. Daybell, the court took a brief recess so that we could try to work out some of the technology concerns of publishing this exhibit. I note that the witness has left the witness stand. It's my understanding there's been a stipulation that excused this witness at this juncture. There's been admission of the exhibit, and there's also been a stipulation that the exhibit can be published, Exhibit 20. It is my understanding the state is desiring to restart Exhibit 20 from the beginning and to republish. Is that correct, Mr. Rammel?
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right, you may do so.
Thank you, Judge.
A call from and hold for
9 an inmate at the Madison County Jail. This crime is subject to recording and monitoring. If you must wish to left, hang up. Thank you for your time.
Hi,
Dad.
Hello.
Are you okay?
So there's such a thing.
Okay, baby. We love you.
Okay. Love you. Good night.
Court notes that the sound quality was not great on that, but that has been admitted into evidence. The court is going to take the liberty to listen to that outside of the courtroom in preparation of making its ruling. And I may do so on a different device to try and get the sound quality to be better. Any objection to me using that disc to try and get sound quality on a better device, Mr. Pryor?
No objection whatsoever from the defense, Your Honor.
Mr. Rammel?
Nothing from the state judge. Thank you.
All right. That concludes the witness, the jailer that just testified. Mr. Rammel or Mr. Wood, are you going to call the next witness?
Yes, the state calls Steve Daniels.
Is Steve, Mr. Daniels, does he have a title, Mr. Wood?
Special agent.
Thank you. Special Agent Daniels, if you'll wait right there for just a moment while we clean this witness table. If you'll stand and raise your right arm and face the clerk.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give cause and opinion will be the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth,
I do.
Thank you.
You can be seated here at the witness stand, Special Agent Daniels.
Thank you, sir.
You can take off your mask once you've entered that witness cubicle. Special Agent, if you'll make sure to listen to the questions that are being asked, wait for the person inquiring to finish their question before you begin answering as we're making a record. Mr. Wood, you may inquire when you're ready.
Thank you. Can you state your name and spell it for the record, please?
Steve Daniels, STEVEDANIELS.
Thank you. What is your occupation?
I'm a special agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigation out of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay, and do you have any special responsibilities with the FBI?
I'm the senior team leader for the evidence response team out of Salt Lake City, Utah, and we cover the states of Utah, Idaho, and Montana.
Okay, how long have you been in that position?
I've been the senior team leader for approximately 8 years.
And how long have you worked for the FBI?
For approximately 23 years.
Okay. And do you receive any additional training to work on the evidence response team?
Evidence response team members are provided 80 hours of basic training where we learn kind of our general policies, procedures, guidance, guidelines as to how we would handle crime scenes, how we'd process crime scenes, how we would process, execute search warrants, things of that nature. After we receive the basic training, we're then offered advanced trainings. One of those advanced trainings is the Human Remains Recovery course. That's pertinent to this, what we're going to talk about today. That training is currently offered at the University of Tennessee. I've had that training.
Okay. Thank you. Agent, what involvement, if any, did you have with the search on the Chad Daybell residence on June 9th and 10th of 2020?
I was the senior team leader, so the team leader was my role at that search of Chad Daybell's property on those dates.
Okay. What did you and your team do in preparation for the search of that property?
Approximately 1 week prior to that search, the local case agent contacted me and let me know that there was going to be a search on the Daybell property. And at that point, we helped develop the search strategy to search the property. And that strategy involved working with the local law enforcement, the local FBI agents, working with our evidence response team unit, who oversees all of the evidence response teams throughout the nation, and then working with our FBI laboratory to develop a search strategy prior to hitting boots on the ground, prior to executing that search warrant.
Okay. And do you and your team have protocols that you follow in a search such as this?
Yes. Like I previously mentioned, we do have an 80-hour training that we receive. Currently, that training is received at Fredericksburg, Virginia. And all of our team members take that training, and that's where we learn the different policies, procedures, guidelines that we would incorporate at any of our crime scenes, or if we execute a search warrant, that's where we'd learn those policies and procedures.
Okay. What was the first thing, when did you arrive on the Daybell property?
So on June 9th of 2020, early in the morning, okay, is when we would have arrived.
What was the first thing you instructed your team to do?
So in this case, we had a week of preparation, approximately, and I had already assigned roles to all of my team members. We had about 8 ERT team members who responded, and all of my team members already had preliminary roles assigned. Some of those initial steps or roles would have been ensuring that this scene was secure, ensuring that our team was safe, and then starting crime scene sign-in log to document who was entering the scene, who was exiting the scene. We had a photographer already established. The photographer would have started creating entry photos. For this scene, we'd already established priority areas. So our photographer was already going to start initiating entry photos, starting with the eastern part of the property. And then as my role, the team leader, I have an administrative log or worksheet that I would have started to fill out. And then as the team leader, one of my initial roles that I would do is start conducting a preliminary survey of this crime scene.
Okay. You spoke about areas of interest. How many areas of interest did you have when you arrived on the property?
So as part of our preparation, working with the local law enforcement case agents up here, the FBI laboratory, we had already established, and I'll speak to kind of the priority things that we did. We had satellite imagery. We had telephone ping information. We had text message, one text message in particular, that already allowed us to establish some priority areas of interest on the property.
Okay. Your Honor, I would ask if the state could have State's Exhibit 10 shown to the witness, and if we could put it up on the easel. And it is demonstrative exhibit.
Exhibit 10 will be put on the easel.
Agent, they're going to hand you a laser pointer. Based on what you just testified, can you point out the areas of interest on that exhibit?
So before we even set foot on the property, this is the fire pit area. So from satellite imagery, similar to what this image is, this wasn't satellite imagery, I don't think, but similar to this image, we could tell that there was a fire pit on the property. Based on my experience, we knew before we even set foot on the property that we could potentially find evidence in the fire pit. So prior to even arriving, I had already assigned 2 of my ERT members, once we arrived, to go to that fire pit and assess what we needed to do to process this fire pit. Some of those assessments, once we got there, would be, is today, you know, June 9th, 2020, is the fire pit we see today going to be the same fire pit as we had back in September of 2019? We don't know that, but we need to make an assessment by looking at what type of fire pit are we seeing. Do we see ash outside of today's known fire pit, that ring? Do we see ash around that? We already know going in that we need to process this fire pit because something could have happened here.
Okay.
So that was our priority number one area going in without even setting foot on the property.
And what were the other priority areas?
So based on a text message we were already aware of through the investigation, we knew that there was discussion of a pet cemetery. Before arriving, we didn't know where this pet cemetery was. So one of the assessments we had to make once we arrived was, where is the pet cemetery? That was something we knew from a text message. So our job was to try to locate this pet cemetery.
Okay. And were there any other priority areas?
And then we knew from telephone ping information, we had a ping that was on the east side of this pond, somewhere in here, I'd say.
Judge, can I get some foundation on which specific ping information he's referring to, please?
Mr. Wood?
Agent Daniels, were you familiar with the ping information that you were provided? Do you know where it came from?
I would say I'm not familiar with the telephone ping information. Okay. So an analyst provided me, told me about the pings. On my evidence response team, I happen to have an FBI analyst who is familiar with the case. And so one of my initial duties was I assigned my analyst, who's on my evidence response team, who was familiar with the case. I made her my sketcher. And I basically said, hey, you're the sketcher for this case because you're already involved. Please create essentially a sketch, but it was using some satellite imagery. And please pinpoint for me on this sketch the telephone pings that will be of interest to us as the team. So I can't give you any more detail about those pings. I just assigned the person that I knew was the most knowledgeable about it to give me the pings that we knew would be of interest to us.
Okay. Thank you. So you talked about arriving on the property and your first steps and your priority areas. What happened after you identified those areas? What did your team do?
So the photographer went to those priority areas first so we could quickly get those entry photos taken of those areas before we did these assessments. Once the photographer covered the fire pit area, we sent the two team members I had already assigned to that area because we knew that was a known. We knew we had to search the fire pit. We knew there was a fire pit. So those two ERT members automatically went over there after the photography was taken and started assessing that scene. And like already...
Could I inquire a native objection? There's some things that I find are a little confusing to me.
You may.
May I? Officer, you keep making reference to a fire pit and a cemetery.
Mr. Pryor, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Can you pull that microphone a little bit closer to you?
Officer, you're making reference to a fire pit and a cemetery. Are they at the same location?
The fire pit we could see from satellite imagery.
That's not what I asked you. I asked you whether the cemetery and the fire pit are in the same location.
We don't know where the cemetery is located at this point. We're not boots on the ground. We don't know where the cemetery is.
Okay. But you could see a circular area where there's a fire pit.
Correct, from the satellite imagery.
And that's a circular brick area where there's a fire pit, is that correct?
So once we arrived on scene, we could tell that there were circular bricks ringing a fire pit. So once we were on scene, we could tell what the fire pit consisted of. We were still trying to assess, and I haven't gotten to the pet cemetery, find where the pet cemetery is.
Okay.
So we'll get to that in a minute.
And Judge, he covered it. I think I'm going to have to clarify this on cross, and I think that's more appropriate. I just wanted a clarification that we're talking about two distinct areas, correct?
Correct. Eventually, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
No problem. Mr. Wood, you may continue to inquire.
Okay. So you arrive on scene, and you send out your photographer, correct?
Correct.
And... So what did your team do next?
So the photographer starts with the known fire pit area.
Okay.
Once she's taken the entry photos of the fire pit, our two members that we assigned to the fire pit start their assessment of the fire pit to determine how we need to process that. The photographer then moves kind of towards that pond, and about that time, we make the determination based on seeing a statue of a dog, and then in front of the statue of the dog, there's what appears to be a grave. And I base that off my training that I've received, my experience of what a grave could look like, a clandestine grave,
okay,
in front of this dog statue.
And after you and your team make that determination, what do you do next?
So that area where this dog statue is becomes what I call the pet cemetery. And I make that determination based on this dog statue, the possible graves that I identify in front of this dog statue based on my experience. And then I determined a square, essentially, 10 foot by 10 foot approximately, in that area. And that's what I determined was going to be our pet cemetery area.
Okay. And what did you instruct your team to do at that point?
The photographer continues her entry photos over towards the pond. And these are just entry photos, so just overall photos of this property. And then she continues kind of in a counterclockwise motion around the whole property. Meanwhile, you know, I'm conducting a preliminary survey, trying to assess where this pet cemetery is, trying to locate that. And then the other team members are coming out. Two team members are going to the fire pit, making assessments on how we're going to process that. Other team members are doing other roles. Eventually, we have, and when I say team members at this point, now we're probably starting to incorporate, it's starting to get beyond the evidence response team. So now we're starting to incorporate other law enforcement officers from Fremont County Sheriff's Office, from Rexburg PD. So now law enforcement officers are starting to make assessments, starting to look, inquire around the pond for potential clandestine graves.
Okay. I'm going to call your attention to the pond. Did you and your team discover anything there in that area?
Yes. So eventually what happens is on the northeast side of this pond, near this tree, a clandestine grave is found.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that this exhibit that's been marked as State's Exhibit 21 be shown to the defense and handed to the witness.
Exhibit 21 will be handed to the witness.
Agent, do you recognize that exhibit?
Yes, that's what I'm going to refer to as the clandestine grave.
Okay. Have you seen that exhibit before?
Yes.
And you're familiar with it?
Yes.
Is it a photograph?
It's a photograph. That
did you take that photograph?
I did not.
Did a member of your team take that photograph?
Yes.
And did you incorporate it into your report?
Yes.
And is that photograph a true and accurate representation of what you observed on the ground in that area?
Yes, it is.
Your Honor, the State would move for Exhibit 21 to be entered into evidence.
No objection, Judge.
Exhibit 21 will be admitted.
Okay. Can you describe what you see in that photograph?
So this is what I would call an overall photograph of what this clandestine grave looked like before we've touched it or processed it. What I would describe as a raised berm, so it's a little bit raised in the center of this photograph, and surrounding this raised berm is a thicker vegetation. And then on this raised berm, the vegetation is a lot thinner and shorter. And that's essentially our grave site, what becomes our grave site, and what eventually we're going to call burial site number one on a lot of our paperwork.
And so is it all right with you if we just refer to that as burial site one?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, what did you instruct your team to do at burial site one once that site was located?
So once we established the good possibility that this is a grave site, we moved to process this appropriately. And part of that is to, that one of the first processes we want to do is we took photographs, and then we have some special equipment. We have a FARO scanner, and the FARO scanner is what we used for this scene to take measurements. And then we also have a total station, and we use that to take measurements. So the way we want to process this grave site is we want to layer by layer, we want to process this as we excavate down the grave site. And that allows us to kind of tell the story of how these human remains, how they were buried.
Okay.
And that's, go ahead.
Oh, did you then excavate that site?
And then we started excavating this site layer by layer.
Okay. You say layer by layer. Can you just briefly describe how that process goes?
So for burial site one, we started by removing this upper vegetation off to get a better picture without the vegetation of what it looked like. And then, I don't know if you want me to keep going, but once we removed the vegetation, you could kind of see that raised berm. And then eventually you could see what looks like stones protruding through the ground.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that this exhibit marked as State's Exhibit 22 be shown to the defense and then handed to the witness.
Exhibit 22 will be shown to the witness.
Agent, are you familiar with State's Exhibit 22?
I am.
What is it?
So once we've gone down...
Don't describe what's in it. Just tell us what it is.
It's a photograph that our photographer took.
Okay. And that was part of a photographer on your team, correct?
Correct.
And is this picture incorporated into your report?
It is.
And is it a true and accurate representation of what you saw on the ground that day?
Yes.
Your Honor, the State would move for State's Exhibit 22 to be entered into evidence.
No objection, Judge.
Exhibit 22 will be admitted.
Can you describe what you see in State's Exhibit 22?
So once we've removed the vegetation layer, and as we're starting to go down through the layers of this grave, it's important to start noting these layers for this reason. So now we're starting to see the placement of stones on this grave. So someone's placed stones over this. And so now we're seeing how precise or how these stones are laid. And then you're also seeing roots from the tree, surrounding tree, that are cut, showing the effort or showing how this was done. So that's what this picture is really showing.
Okay. And once that was found, did you excavate further?
Yes. And then so once the pictures, the photographs, and the scans are done of this layer, then we would remove those and then continue down.
Okay. And what did you find further down?
And then once these stones are removed, we then come across some thin boards that are underneath this level.
Your Honor, the State's going to ask that this exhibit, marked as State's Exhibit 23, be shown to the defense and handed to the witness.
Exhibit 23 is now being shown to the witness.
Agent, are you familiar with State's Exhibit 23?
Yes.
What is it?
It's another photograph that our photographer took.
And were you, your photographer took, was this as a part of your investigation and excavation?
Yes.
And is it incorporated in your report?
It is.
And is it a true and accurate representation of what you saw that day on that site?
Yes.
Your Honor, the State would move for Exhibit 23 to be entered into evidence.
And there would be no objection to that.
Exhibit 23 will be admitted.
Agent, can you describe what you see on State's Exhibit 23?
Yes. So again, part of that process is once we remove those stones, kind of the next significant item is the boards that were underneath the stone. So again, someone's placed these boards over this grave site, and so this is telling that story. The effort somebody went through for some reason to put these boards there. And so that's what we want to capture. So again, photographs, scans are taken, and this is what that next layer or level is, and this is part of that story.
Okay. Do you see tree branches?
And I can still...
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. Do you see tree roots?
Yes. You can see, from this photo, you can still see the surrounding area of the grave and the textures and the roots.
After you... Did you remove those boards?
Yes.
And excavate further?
Yes.
What did you find as you excavated further?
So as we continue to excavate, the next significant piece, the next significant thing that starts to be uncovered is a black plastic bag, a portion of a black plastic bag that appears to be like a black garbage bag, possible black garbage bag.
And what did you do once you found that?
Once we saw what appeared to be the black garbage bag, we needed to kind of verify, do we have human remains here? And so it kind of fell upon me to get in there, and I took a razor blade and I made a cut to this garbage bag. Prior to making the cut on the garbage bag, I got in there with my hands and I just kind of removed the dirt around the object, and the object was just a, you know, oval shaped object, and the plastic bag was just tightly wrapped, you know, tightly against this oval shape, and to me it just felt like the shape of a skull.
Okay. Your Honor, I'm going to ask that this exhibit, this is marked as State's Exhibit 24, be shown to the defense and handed to the witness. Agent, do you recognize State's Exhibit 24?
Yes.
What is it?
So that was the black...
Don't describe what's in it. Can you just tell us what?
It was the photo.
Okay. And is that a photograph a part of your excavation?
Yes.
With your team? And is that incorporated into your report?
It is.
And is it a true and accurate representation of what you saw at Burial Site 1?
It is.
Your Honor, the state would move for Exhibit 24 to be entered into evidence.
And there's no objection, Judge.
Exhibit 24 will be admitted.
Can you describe what you see on State's Exhibit 24?
That was the part of that black plastic that we initially saw. That was what I got, you know, as close as I could inside this burial. And with my hands, I uncovered that dirt that you can see in this photo. And that was what I was scraping off around that oval shape that just felt like a skull. And that was the plastic black bag that was tightly, you know, up against whatever object was inside.
Okay.
And then I took that razor blade, and in order to even cut through it, I had to pull that plastic bag off of whatever was inside to make a cut. And then obviously I tried to make my cut as gentle as I could, not to disturb any forensic evidence. And then once I made the cut through the black plastic bag, a white plastic bag was underneath. And the white plastic bag, you know, appeared to me to be a possible white garbage bag with diamond-shaped texture to it.
Okay. And what did you do once you found that?
So when then on the diamond, on the white plastic bag underneath, I pulled that one up and I made a similar cut with the razor blade. Mm-hmm. And then as I cut through the white plastic, that's when the, you know, possible human hair started coming out onto my hands. And that was the point where we determined this is human remains.
Okay. And what did you do after that?
And then after that, the rest of the team continued the excavation of the grave. And then eventually we uncovered the entire body that was wrapped in this black plastic bag with a lot of duct tape, you know, intermingled.
Okay. Did you remove that black plastic bag and its contents from the ground?
Yeah, once the complete excavation was done, where you could see the human remains wrapped in the black plastic, and we can take photographs and scans, the coroner was called in, and a body bag was placed, and then the team removed the body, which was given to the coroner.
Okay. All right. I'd like to call your attention to the area that you've described as the pet cemetery. Your Honor, I'd ask that State's Exhibit 25 be shown to the defense and handed to the witness.
Exhibit 25 is being shown to the witness.
Agent, do you recognize State's Exhibit 25?
I do.
What is it?
It's a photograph that our photographer took.
Okay, is that incorporated in your report?
It is.
And is that a true and accurate representation of what you observed in the area you've called the pet cemetery?
It is.
Your Honor, the State would ask that or move for Exhibit 25 to be entered into evidence.
No objection, Judge.
Exhibit 25 will be admitted.
Can you describe for the court what you see in State's Exhibit 25?
This is kind of the overall photo of what came to be known for us as the pet cemetery. And in this photo, you can see that statue of the dog. And then right in front of that statue, there was what I would call an area that looked like it was a grave. And then near that grave, there was what I would say were maybe two or three, maybe besides that one, maybe two other areas that looked like they could have been graves to me. I imagined these graves, since it was a pet cemetery, or we thought pets were buried here based off a text message. We logically figured there could be animals here. We did have an anthropologist with us, and when we started our processing of this scene, I had a team start processing this scene, and we put the anthropologist with that team so that the anthropologist could help them determine the difference between animal or human bones, if they found any.
Okay. And how did you then begin processing that site?
So we started with just kind of our assessment of possible graves that we could see there. And then based off that, I created, an area, kind of a square area, 10 foot by 10 foot, around those potential grave sites. And that was what we called our pet cemetery area. And then that was the area we initially started excavating. The team that started processing that, kind of similar to burial site number one, we removed the vegetation, that first layer, to see what we were dealing with. Can we see any, these graves, can we see, get a better picture of them once that vegetation's moved? And then we started having them, using hand tools, try to figure out if they could find animal remains, is what we thought we would find. And they did end up finding two sets of animal remains.
Okay.
And that was kind of the first step.
Okay. And then what did you do after that?
After the animal remains were found and moved to the side, we used a backhoe to come in, and the backhoe then excavated that initial, what I'm estimating to be 10 foot by 10 foot area. And the backhoe went approximately 2 feet down after that, in that approximately 10 foot by 10 foot area. And we also took, for this area and all areas, we have measurements, that we shot in. So we know exactly on this property where that area was. So we know this approximately 10 foot by 10 foot area. We know where that is on the property. We know where burial site one was on the property. We know where burial site two is on the property, eventually when we get there. So the backhoe started excavating this area.
Okay. And what happened after that?
So once the backhoe had kind of processed this 10-foot by 10-foot area, gone approximately 2 feet down. The backhoe started to expand from the 10-foot by 10-foot area, going a little bit north. And as that backhoe was expanding from our original 10-foot by 10-foot area, the backhoe uncovers two potential vertebrae. And we stop, and we have our anthropologist make an assessment on those bones. Are they animal? Are they human? Our anthropologist couldn't make the determination with those two bones at that time. As I'm standing there waiting for the assessment to be made from the anthropologist, I caught an odor that I can associate with my experience with possibly being decomposing, human remains.
Okay.
And between waiting for the anthropologist to make an assessment that we end up she can't make yet, and then smelling the possible, odor that I'm familiar with of possibly being decomposing flesh, I made the decision, okay, we're going to stop using the tractor. Let's get the tractor out of the way, and then let's have the team focus on hand tools, and let's see what we come up with right here. Okay. This is interesting.
So when you recovered the two animals you talked about, did you experience that same smell?
No, I did not.
Okay. You said you moved on to hand tools. Tell us what happened then.
So as the team was using, excavating this area, just a little bit north, kind of at the at the north side of our 10-foot by 10-foot original pet cemetery area, the next significant thing is we hit a bone, sticking out of the ground, and it's kind of leads into some flesh. And at the time, our anthropologist still can't make a determination if that's animal or human. And so the team starts trying to excavate whatever this is. And then eventually, we're able to excavate a few pieces. The major piece ends up being a pelvic piece.
And is that something you recognize as being a pelvic piece?
I'll say possible pelvic piece, okay. Piece, but I mean, a pelvic piece is pretty familiar to me. So I would say I could recognize it, but I'll say possible pelvic piece.
And what else did you find that day?
So that was significant. These pieces at that time was significant. Once the team, recovered those pieces, based on those pieces that were recovered, the anthropologist...
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
Without testifying as to what the anthropologist told you,
okay,
did you ask the anthropologist to make an assessment?
Yes.
Okay. And what happened in your search after that?
So that was where we stopped processing for the day.
Okay.
So we knew at that point we had found human remains. So that was where we stopped processing for the day. That became then burial site number two. I then made a new perimeter, a new outline of where our new excavation site would be for burial site number two, based off those remains we just found. And that's all going to be mapped in, so we have the data for those for this new area. And that's burial site number two now. And then that's essentially where we ended for day one.
Okay.
And then the pieces that were recovered, and those pieces appeared to be burned. Some of them were pink still, so there's a lot of tissue still involved. And then again, it was pieces, so dismembered. And then those pieces were put in a body bag. The coroner was there, sealed up by the coroner, and then removed from the scene. So all human remains from day one were taken,
Okay. And to your knowledge, was the scene secured at that point?
Yeah, and then so all general evidence, so besides the human remains, which is what we've been focused on, there was a lot of other searching going on, taking place. all general evidence from the day was sealed up, documented, you know, through our paperwork. And then that was all provided to the Rexburg Police Department. And that was handed off to them at the end of day one. And then the scene was secured, the local police, Fremont County Sheriff's Office, Rexburg Police Department secured the scene overnight, and then ERT departed late in the afternoon on day one.
Okay. Your Honor, I'd ask that this exhibit marked as State's Exhibit 26 be shown to the defense and handed to the witness.
Exhibit 26 will be shown to the witness.
Agent, do you recognize Exhibit 26?
I do.
What is it?
It's another photograph that our photographer would have taken.
Okay, and is that incorporated in your report?
It is.
And is that a true and accurate representation of what you observed at what we've called burial site number two?
Yes, burial site number two in the Pet Cemetery.
Your Honor, I'd ask that State's Exhibit 26 be entered into evidence.
No objection, Your Honor. Thank you.
Exhibit 26 will be admitted.
And then I'd ask that this exhibit marked as State's Exhibit 27 be shown to the defense and handed to the witness.
Exhibit 27 is being shown to the witness.
Agent, do you recognize Exhibit 27?
I do.
What is it?
That shows burial site number two, and those are the stakes that I put up to mark the perimeter of burial site number two once we had identified the human remains.
Okay. And is that a true and accurate representation of what you observed at burial site number two?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd move for State's Exhibit 27 to be entered into evidence.
No objection, Judge.
Exhibit 27 will be admitted.
Agent, you talked about, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, how you started excavating, or at some point you were excavating burial site number two with the backhoe, correct?
Correct.
And then you expanded your search northward.
Correct.
Is State's Exhibit 27, did you compare that with State's Exhibit 26? Is that spot in 27, is that northward of where you originally started excavating site with the backhoe?
It's kind of right on that border.
Okay.
And so it's kind of hard to tell without looking at the final data from our FARO scanner and our total station. It's kind of hard for me from these photos to say if they overlap
okay.
or not.
That's
so we kind of need to wait for till we see that final data.
Okay. Exhibit 27, is that the area where you discovered the bones that you talked about on day one?
Yes, okay. The bones that were eventually for burial site number two.
Okay. Now, yes, thank you. For burial site number two, thank you. And did you resume your search or your excavation on June 10th?
Yes. So June 10th, in the morning, we arrived back on scene, and we would have started a similar process: crime scene sign-in log, entry photos again to show how that scene is at that time. I would have started another for the team leader. I would have started another admin log that I would have filled out, and then another preliminary survey, and then our primary, we had a lot of objectives, but the primary objectives were obviously to finish the excavation of burial site number two. And I think we were still finishing the processing of the fire pit area. And we haven't really talked about that, but finishing the fire pit area.
Okay. Can you tell the court what you found at what you found on day two at burial site number two?
So burial site number two, it was a little bit more complex for us, I think, but it was the same process. There's a story to be told here at this grave, so we want to do the same thing, layer by layer, noting any significance. The difficulty, I think, for us, for this one, was the way these human remains were found. So it was kind of this, for lack of a better term, it was kind of a mass of dismembered human remains. Burnt, partially burnt. And so we did the best we could. It was kind of hard to recognize, like, what are we looking at here initially? You know, what is this? Mm-hmm. We know there's tissue here, there's organic matter here, and we just couldn't recognize what we were dealing with. But layer by layer, we ended up just excavating all around this mass of human remains. And we ended up excavating all the way around it. And at the very bottom of this mass, we find, you know, this melted green bucket. And then to the bottom, the side of that green bucket, we eventually find a skull. And then to the side of that skull, we find a mandible with some teeth. That those are the significant things that you could finally see and recognize out of this mass.
Okay.
And so we did the team did the best they could to kind of excavate around this and kind of tell that story. And again, we'd stop every so often, take photos, take scans, and document that excavation process, just like we did at the burial site one, layer by layer. And then eventually, it came the decision point of, okay, now we need to try to lift these remains out of burial site two.
What happened when you tried to do that?
So when the team tried to lift the remains, this mass out of burial site two, it fell apart. So what ends up happening is just a removal of pieces into the coroner's body bag. And then once we get the pieces into the body bag, our anthropologist and the coroner essentially do, as best they can, an inventory of what pieces we have so that I know, as the team leader, you know, how much more do we need to look for in this grave? Because I don't want to leave at the end of the day with only partial remains and there's something else in there. And so even after the bigger parts of the mass and pieces are removed, the team, we still need to continue, you know, digging out this grave, you know, going further than what the pieces we saw were, sifting. And the sifting operation, we didn't talk about that. But the sifting operation happened in burial one also. A sifting operation continues in burial site number two. And we're looking for any other pieces of evidence. We're looking for small pieces of bone, small teeth. So we continue those operations until we think we've got all the human remains so that we can get everything out of there. And then one thing that we also did was, even once we finished that process, we used the backhoe to go even deeper and wider at each of these burial locations just to ensure, you know, we got everything.
Mm-hmm. And did you find anything else at either site one or two when you did that expansion search?
We did not.
Okay. Thank you. And once all those remains were, you may have already answered this, I apologize if you did, once those remains were all removed from the ground, what did you do with them?
The coroner would have sealed the body bags, and then the coroner would have removed them from the scene.
Okay. All right, thank you. Agent, was this the first time you had been in or been at the Daybell residence?
It was not.
Okay. When had you been there before?
It was January 3rd of 2020.
What were you doing there that day?
We were assisting the Fremont County Sheriff's Office in a search warrant execution.
And so just to be clear, is it the same property in Fremont County, Idaho?
Correct.
Okay. What was your role during that search?
Same role. I was the team leader for that search warrant.
Okay. As a team leader, did you take possession and document any items that you found and seized?
We did.
Okay. Your Honor, the state would ask that State's Exhibit 28 be shown to the defense and the witness, along with State's Exhibit 29.
Exhibits 28 and 29 will be shown to the witness.
I'm going to call your attention to State's Exhibit 28. Do you recognize State's Exhibit 28?
I do.
What is it?
It's an LG cell phone.
Instead of describing the contents of it, just in general, what is
it? It's a photograph that our photographer would have taken.
Okay, and have you had a chance to review that photograph before?
I have.
And is it a part of a report that you prepared in your role as a team leader in a search?
It is.
Okay. And is that a true and accurate representation of what you saw on January 3rd, 2020?
It is.
Okay. Your Honor, the state moves for Exhibit 28 to be entered into evidence.
No objection, Judge. Thank you.
Exhibit 28 will be admitted.
I call your attention to State's Exhibit 29. Do you recognize State's Exhibit 29?
I do.
What is it?
It's another photograph that our ERT photographer would have taken.
Okay, and is that photograph a part of your report as the team leader?
It is.
And is that a true and accurate representation of what you saw in the Daybell residence on January 3rd, 2020?
It is.
Your Honor, the state moves for Exhibit 29 to be entered into evidence.
And there would be no objection, Judge.
Exhibit 29 will be admitted.
So State's Exhibit 28, can you describe what you see in that picture?
It's an LG cell phone.
Okay, and do you recall where that cell phone was found?
It was in a bedroom of the residence, and it was, I believe we call it bedroom L, which was a southeast bedroom of the residence.
Okay. Is there anything distinct about that photograph?
Of 28, Exhibit 28 specifically?
Yes.
Not really.
Okay. Can you describe what you see in State's Exhibit 29?
It's the backside of the LG cell phone.
Okay. And is it the same cell phone?
Yes.
Okay. And is there anything distinctive that you see in State's Exhibit 29?
Yeah, at the residence, this one was distinctive just because this picture shows the clear bubble case that it had with the heart shapes that were inside of it. And then the cell phone on the back, this one was blue in color.
Okay. And what did you do with the evidence found in State's Exhibits 28 and 29?
This evidence item for us was item 21, so it was packaged by the ERT team, and at the end of the day, I seized the evidence, and then I gave all of the evidence to Lieutenant Joe Powell with the Fremont County Sheriff's Office, and then he took the evidence, and that was at the Daybell residence.
Okay. Your Honor, the state has no further questions at this time.
Court notes that it is 12 o'clock straight up. Mr. Pryor, would you like to proceed with cross-examination after lunch?
Judge, if that's acceptable to the court, that would be my preference, Your Honor.
We'll do that.
We'll take a recess for lunch. We'll reconvene at 20 after 1, and we'll proceed with cross-examination of this witness.
All right.
You've been listening to the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, parts 1 through 13. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any piece of this compelling court testimony as we prepare for the trial of Lori Daybell in the coming weeks. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.